Welcome to the ULM Forum. I'm Jay Curtis. A small business starts with an entrepreneur and an idea. That idea, depending on how it's executed, can become a successful business. It can also become one of the one half of businesses that fail in less than 5 years, according to the U.S. Small Business Administration. That statistic changes, though, when entrepreneurs can get some help. The Louisiana Small Business Development Center at the University of Louisiana at Monroe works to give small business owners a fighting chance in today's economy. Dr. Paul Dunn, director of the center here at ULM, joins me now. Dr. Dunn, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We wanted to talk about what the mission of this Small Business Development Center and really look at that from a case study. We have someone to talk about. But first of all, what is the Louisiana Small Business Development Center?
Well, the Louisiana Small Business Development Center is a network of centers all over the state designed to assist entrepreneurs who want to start ventures and small businesses who want to improve their businesses. Basically in an effort to develop and diversify the economy of Louisiana.
And what kind of services do you offer at the center here at ULM?
Well, the center has basically three services. We provide inexpensive continuing education programs designed to improve management skills in a variety of areas. We do one-on-one consulting with individuals who are having problems of one type or another. And then we're an information resource center so that if someone needs some information to aid them in improving their business and so on, we're pretty good at accessing information.
And what kind of what do you see most when you have somebody come in to consult the center?
Well, most of our clients are what we call pre-venture clients who come in and they have an idea that they want to pursue, and the first thing that we suggest to them is that they consider seriously a feasibility study. I get an average of two phone calls a week in my office from people who say to me, "Dr. Dunn, we got a real good little business here in Winsboro or wherever it is. We've been in business 6 months, and we're out of cash." And I have to remind them, real good little business and out of cash don't go together. And what happened was that they got an idea, and they just did it. And so we encourage feasibility.
And so from the feasibility study, taking a look at whether or not that business idea is something—
Yeah, if the idea really has merit, we make them think through the whole process, including the financials, so that they understand this is what I'm going to do to myself and my family before they ever start.
So looking at counting the cost, really.
The cost of doing it, how likely it is to succeed, how much it's going to generate in terms of income and so on. Because a lot of people a lot of entrepreneurs particularly are very optimistic, and it's very easy for them to overestimate sales and underestimate expenses and costs, and the results is disastrous.
I've heard you use the phrase turning entrepreneurs into business managers. What does that mean?
Well, basically, if you just take the general public, about 15% of the American population at some point in their life will seriously consider going into business themselves. Most of them have never had any experience or training in business. And so they're entrepreneurs. They want to start a venture. And what we have to do is not kill the entrepreneurial spirit, but add the discipline of management knowledge and skills to that so that they enhance their chances of success.
But being able to mold that entrepreneurial spirit into being able to run a business.
Right.
Let's look at a case study. Ronnie Washington had been around here and first came to you with an idea.
Yeah. I can't remember what year it was. It was several years ago. Ron came to us and had this idea for making and selling Cajun boudin, is what he called it. And so we went through his knowledge, skills, background, and so on, and laid out a kind of a program for him to really look at the business idea he had, to develop it more fully, to understand what it meant for him and his family and so on. And then we put him into some continuing education programs, including a little workshop that we call Starting and Financing a Small Business, and then into Fast Track, where he developed a business plan and subsequently started Ron's Cajun Boudin.
from the time that he first came to you, what were those first consulting sessions like?
Well, they're all kind of the same. The entrepreneurs are very enthusiastic, very sure that the idea they have is a good one. And then as we go through the process, they begin to get a little more realistic over time. And as they develop their idea, they increase their chances of success a great deal. So Ron took everything we did to heart, and we're still working with him on some other projects. But he's been very successful with Ron's Cajun Boudin.
How did you see his idea change over the course of those consulting sessions?
We really don't. A lot of times we don't change the idea. One of the problems we have is that the idea for them is the thing. And what we have to do is to get them to thinking of the idea as an opportunity that they can develop as a business. And the business is the thing.
Because that's what
Cajun Boudin is what he makes and sells for a living. But he has to become mentally a business person.
You've quoted numbers from the impact study for Louisiana that Small Business Development Center clients here in Louisiana have greater sales, they have a greater increase in employment levels compared to people who don't go through this process.
Right. And of course, that's really important to us is that we demonstrate that what we do does, in fact, aid the economy of the state. Now, what's not shown in those numbers is the numbers of people who don't do it, who otherwise would have. And, you know, you have the family jewels hanging on a low limb, and that's dangerous.
You mentioned being able to develop business managers without killing that entrepreneurial spirit. How do you do that? How do you manage that balance?
Well, the main thing, the entrepreneurial spirit is a vicious animal, and it's very difficult to kill, so we don't really worry about that. And we encourage them with their ideas and so on, but at the same time, we show them how thinking about what they're proposing to do and where they want to be 5 years or 10 years down the road, and then how do we go from here to there. Most entrepreneurs who come to us want to have been in business day before yesterday. And what we have to do is to help them slow down and contemplate what they're doing and plan for it. 92% of the business failures result of poor management, and most of that is not planning.
So it's not a matter of ideas that don't work. It's ideas that aren't managed well.
That's right. There are ideas, of course, that are not good. But what happens when you get into the management mode is that you're able to sort through those and understand that this one really is not fleshed out the way it should be. There's not a market for it. It's going to cost too much. It's going to take too long. Those kind of things begin to evolve.
So did you run into any of those with Ron's Cajun Boudin?
Well, Ron was in a hurry like all entrepreneurs, but in the process, he was already making boudin, and he developed some recipes, and we helped him with those and with marketing and with finances and so on. And now he kind of has it under control, but it's growing very rapidly, and we're trying to help him with that.
So how have you seen his personality change from the stars in the eyes optimist at the beginning, the entrepreneur with a great idea, to the successful businessman that he is now?
Well, I think, you know, he still has the bright-eyed enthusiasm of an entrepreneur, and that's great. We really don't want to kill that. But at least he has the discipline to say to himself, okay, before you go off half-cocked, you need to think about these things and how they contribute to what you're trying to become and, you know, work it that way.
Dr. Paul Dunn is a professor of entrepreneurship studies and the director of the Louisiana Small Business Development Center here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. Dr. Dunn, thank you so much for talking with us.
I enjoyed it.
You can get more information on the Louisiana Small Business Development Center at ULM at 342-1224 or lsbdc.org. Joining me now to talk about a special guest coming to the ULM campus next week is Dr. Pamela Higgins-Salisbury. She's the head of the Department of Social Work and the chair of the ULM Diversity Committee. Welcome to the program, Dr. Salisbury.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Our special guest next week, Monday night, former Governor Kathleen Babineau Blanco. Tell us, how did this come about?
Well, actually, the committee has Dr. Wayne Brumfield to thank for this. My understanding is they were at an event together, I want to say an athletic event in South Louisiana, and they began to talk. He knew that we were looking for someone, and he took advantage of that opportunity, and she accepted.
Well, it is a free talk coming up on Monday night in Brown Auditorium. It's in celebration of Women's History Month. Tell me, why is the former Governor Blanco the perfect person to speak on Women's History Month?
Well, because she is a person who has many firsts as being a woman in the state of Louisiana, and that's wonderful that she's in the state of Louisiana and we have access to her. And the types of things that she has done is what the Women's History Month is all about, to look at the opportunities once they were opened up to women, in this case, that were taken advantage of, and how that opportunity helped to benefit the entire, in this case, state of Louisiana.
I know she was the first woman governor, but there have been some other firsts in her career, too.
Exactly right. She was the first woman from Lafayette elected to the Louisiana House of Representatives in 1983 and again in 1987. She was also the first woman in Louisiana elected to the Public Service Commission, where she was named chairperson. I'll say it's usually chairman, but after she was elected as chairperson, and was reelected for a second term with absolutely no opposition. So that speaks to the contribution she made.
And if you look at her contributions to the state of Louisiana as lieutenant governor, working with the tourism industry.
Exactly right. She was twice elected as lieutenant governor, and she built the state's tourism business into a $9 billion industry. And so that speaks volumes right there. And she had, the Main Street Program, she worked to revitalize small towns across the state of Louisiana.
So what are some of the contributions that other women have given to history, both in Louisiana and really in the country, that get celebrated during the month?
We are specifically going to concentrate on the contributions of women. In fact, there's a book called Louisiana Women. Yes. I had the opportunity to look at or to present a certain aspect of chapter of that book at a series they had in the library. And
part of the River Reads program last summer. Excerpts of that aired here on KEDI.
Exactly right. And another person who is should be very familiar with the individuals here in Monroe, Ellen Blue, one of the editors and contributors, I should say, in that book. And there are individuals like Clementine Hunter that are in that book. There's also Mary Land, who wrote a cookbook some years ago that is celebrating that book. We are concentrating on looking at the women in Louisiana and how they, again, not only contributed to the betterment of the life of women in Louisiana, but to obviously has a rippling effect, because we know about Louisiana cooking. So if you hear about Mary Land, then you'll know that she helped to popularize the cooking in Louisiana.
Former Governor Blanco's appearance is put together by the ULM Diversity Committee. What are the goals of that committee?
Well, we have a very simple, I think, an important goal, and that's sharing the experiences in the key of life, kind of a take on the Stevie Wonder song, Experiences in the Key of Life. And that's our goal, to share experiences in the key of life, to show that every group has made contributions that benefit humankind. So that's what our mission is.
I first noticed the events during Black History Month, but now Women's History Month, and you've got some other events coming up as well.
Exactly right. We had, in fact, in January, we had an Act of Kindness Day for Martin Luther King celebration. As you know, in February, we had the Black Arts Festival, and this month we're having a Women's History Month. And April is actually Child Abuse Prevention Month, so we're looking at the family system throughout different cultures. And in May, we have Asian History Month, so we again want to emphasize the contributions that everybody has made to the betterment of everybody.
Dr. Pamela Higgins-Salisbury is the head of the Department of Social Work here at ULM and the chair for the ULM Diversity Committee. Dr. Salisbury, thanks so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Comments or questions about the show can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu. Podcasts of the ULM Forum are available online at kedm.org in the listening room.